1 Corinthians 1:25 states, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, obviously, there is no foolishness in God, and there is no weakness in God. But there is a figure here that's being used that if there could even be something that would be considered foolish or weak, it's greater than the strength and the wisdom of man. There's nothing that man can do that is greater than God. You know, there is a lot of human so-called wisdom today. There's a lot of people that are following human wisdom rather than divine wisdom. And in the book of Jeremiah, we have a people who followed human wisdom rather than following God's wisdom. They were presented with two options. God said, you know, follow, give yourselves over. Jeremiah is preaching surrender to the Babylonians if you want your life to be preserved. But the false prophets had a different message. You know, the false prophets' message probably made sense. The false prophets' message was one that the people wanted to believe. But it was human wisdom, and it ultimately led to the destruction of the people. And I wonder tonight, what kind of wisdom are you following in your life? Whose guidance are you living by? What principles are guiding the decisions that you make in your life? Is it human wisdom or is it divine wisdom? First of all, I'd like to see that human wisdom is easily believable by the masses. It's easily believed by the masses. Jeremiah 5:31, verses 30 and 31 said, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Notice what it says. It says, and my people love to have it so. You know, human wisdom, what man would convey about the situation at hand, of the decision that should be made as opposed to what God would want done, is believed by people. In fact, they love to hear what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. We find it's easily believable by the masses because it's what they want to hear. They love to have it so. It's what makes them feel good. Over in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 11, notice what they were saying. It's Jeremiah 8:11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. It makes them feel good. They're crying, peace, peace. They're providing temporary relief for what the destruction that was coming. Human wisdom is easily believed by the masses. It's what they want to hear. It's what makes them feel good. It makes human sense. I mean, you think about it. Here's an invading army. I mean, surrender to the invading army? Why should we do that? Why should we give ourselves over to the enemy? It probably made human sense. We find that it can be spoken with great pomp, human wisdom. Go to Jeremiah 28, verses 10 and 11. You know, there can be people out there that can speak things. They can maybe speak them eloquently. They can speak them grandly. But just because they speak them eloquently, just because they speak them grandly, does not make it divine wisdom. Notice Jeremiah 28, verses 10 through 11. There was a false prophet. The prophet Jeremiah had a yoke on him. And then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. So the Lord here was giving a picture of how the children of Israel were going to come under the yoke of Babylon. And verse number 11 says, "And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." So here is this great, prophet coming, you know, and he's going to show what's going to take place. And he does it with great pomp. He does it with great grandeur. He comes up to Jeremiah and he breaks the yoke from off his neck. But God tells Jeremiah that there's going to be a yoke of iron that comes upon. And he talks about that in verse 13. "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron." You know, there can be great pomp, there can be great grandeur involved in the conveying of human wisdom. You know, people can fall prey to that grandeur instead of recognizing it for what it is. And we have to be careful. The devil's going to seek to bring about, to convey his message in a grand way that people can believe. And here's a picture. I mean, look at what's taking place. And in fact, the prophet's even saying, "Thus saith the Lord." But he was proclaiming a false message. It's something that's easily believed by the masses. We preached last week, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. You know, which way are you on? We find that human wisdom falsely accuses those who are promoting the truth. It falsely accuses those that are promoting the truth. Go to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah 38 and verse number 4. "Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man, Jeremiah, be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." So here they are falsely accusing Jeremiah. Who was the one that was truly concerned about the people of Israel? Well, obviously it was Jeremiah. Who is the one that was weeping? It was Jeremiah. But they're falsely accusing him. Why? They are seeing things from a human perspective. Jeremiah is weakening the people. He's saying, give in. You know, surrender to the king of Babylon. And obviously, from a human perspective, we're seeing, hey, he's weakening the hands of the people. All right, he's weakening the men of war. He's not seeking the welfare of his people, when in actuality he was, because he was following the message of God. And you know, those that will follow God's wisdom will be easily accused by those who are following human wisdom. You know, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. The fact that human wisdom will falsely accuse those who are promoting the truth. They might say something like, "They don't care about you. You are a family traitor. Where is your loyalty? You know, boy, they must not love you." You know, in certain words, accusing those that want to stand for the truth falsely. when it's those that are standing for the truth that are the ones that have real care and concern. But here Jeremiah is falsely accused by those who are promoting their own ideas. In Jeremiah 37 and verse 13, verse 12, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him, so Urijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Again, we find that those that are seeing life from a human perspective will falsely accuse those who are promoting the truth. You know, if you're going to live by the Word of God, if you're going to live by God's revelation, watch out. You're going to have to be willing to take false accusations. You know, young people, you better be careful, because there's going to be people out there that are going to seek to lure you away from the truth by falsely accusing those that are trying to keep you on the right road. By saying, oh, they're unloving, or they don't really care about you. When in actuality, those are the people that are truly concerned about your well-being. We find that human wisdom does not respond to correction. Go to Jeremiah chapter 5. The problem is that human wisdom just sees things from a completely different perspective. They don't understand how God operates. Notice what it says in verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Human wisdom doesn't respond to correction. Human wisdom does not understand the workings of God and the ways of God. You know, why do people not respond to correction? They don't understand the purpose of the correction. They don't understand why the correction is taking place. Look at our nation as it begins to fall under the judgment of God. You know, if people understood the ways of the Lord, what would they do? They'd repent. But they don't understand the ways of God. They're living in the realm of human wisdom. You know, if we had a country that lived in the realm of God's wisdom, crime would go down. You know, we have to spend all this money on crime because people don't want the Ten Commandments in the school. People don't want the inward rule of God in people's hearts, which is much cheaper for keeping down crime than is letting people live how they want and then trying to control them. And so we have a nation, we have a group of individuals that does not respond to correction. And young person, when you don't respond to correction, you are buying into human wisdom that leads to destruction. You know, you look at the people of Babylon, or the children of Israel in Jerusalem. You think, why didn't they listen to Jeremiah? I mean, we know the whole story. You know, why didn't they listen to him? I mean, just think of how much easier it would have been. I mean, really, Jeremiah's way was the much easier way. But it took getting out of what everybody else was doing. They had to obey God instead of obeying what everybody else thought was the right thing to do. They didn't understand the workings of God. They would not receive correction. God gave them opportunities to repent, but they'd fall back into their own ways. We find human wisdom deals with the truth by avoiding it. It deals with the truth by avoiding it. Go to Jeremiah 37, verse number 23. Oops, I have the wrong passage there. It's not Jeremiah 37, 23. It is Jeremiah 36, 23. Notice as the king is being read what was written by Jeremiah. We'll begin in verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves from the book that Jeremiah wrote, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. So the word of God, the pronouncement of judgment, is read before the king, and what does he do with it? Throws it in the fire. He gets rid of it. You know, that's what human wisdom does when confronted with the truth. They avoid it. Let's get rid of it. Don't deal with it. Let's shut it out. You know, we have a lot of ways maybe today to shut out the truth. You can stop going to church. You know, someone can say, stop pushing religion on me. Somebody can just kind of tune you out. And say that, you know, you're speaking to your child, you're trying to correct them, and they're just kind of tuning you out. Avoiding it. Human wisdom deals with the truth by avoiding it. And that's what the king did. Threw it in the fire. Had no sacred regard for the truth. Wondered in your life, do you have a sacred regard for the truth? I mean, the commentary on the Word of God says they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. And really, the way that the Word of God is presenting their response is, you know what? There should have been fear there. The automatic response is they should have ripped their clothes. They should have rent their garments. Out of agony, out of fear of look at what just happened. They took the word of God and threw it in the fire. You know, the fact is many people today are responding to the truth. They're responding to correction by just casting it aside. You know, if you have to be told over and over the same thing, what are you doing? You are not regarding reproof. You're disregarding it. You're avoiding it. You know, you ought to be alarmed if you have to be told over and over the same thing in your life. Human wisdom, it deals with the truth by avoiding it. You know, it can be a project at school, and your way of dealing with it is avoiding it. Well, guess what? The project doesn't go away too well, does it? And if it does go away, your grade goes down with it. Human wisdom deals with the truth by avoiding it. Find that human wisdom is willing to believe a lie. Jeremiah chapter 7. Doesn't sound like too much wisdom, but human wisdom is willing to believe a lie. Jeremiah 7 verse 4, and then we'll read verse 14. It says, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Then let's go down to verse 14. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. You know, the people here probably had a trust that the temple of the Lord was there in Jerusalem and God's going to protect us. But you know what? God wasn't going to protect them because they were not living the life that God expected. You know, the temple of the Lord was not going to do them any good when they were living the life that they wanted to live. You know, people nowadays think they can live the life that they want to live, but as long as they go to church once a week, or some people, as long as they go to church twice a year, maybe on Christmas and Easter, they're okay. They're trusting in lying words. And human wisdom is willing to believe a lie. They're not going to search out the truth. They're going to gravitate towards something that requires little commitment. There's maybe a element of truth, a husk of truth, but it's a lie inside. It's willing to believe a lie. We find that human wisdom, we touched on this some, provides temporary relief. Provides temporary relief. You know, think of when he burned the scroll. You know, it might have provided temporary relief. Jeremiah chapter 8. And verse 11, and we looked at this verse already. Okay, it says, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." You know, it might make you feel good for a little bit and provide temporary relief, but ultimately, it's going to lead to destruction. Human wisdom provides temporary relief. It can apply to many things in life. You know, we've already touched on schoolwork. Maybe we'll hit that one again. What would provide temporary relief to your schoolwork?
Don't do it.
You know, you go to bed and you feel good for one night. But then you have to what? You've got to face the teacher the next day, don't you? You know, maybe you cheat and it provides temporary relief. But ultimately it's what? Be sure your sin will find you out. And it's going to lead to destruction. You know, it could be that job at home. And you cover something up instead of dealing with the mess. Maybe it's the old trick of stuffing everything under the bed when you're supposed to clean your room. You know, it provides maybe temporary relief. You know, maybe it's washing the dishes. You know, you make the top of the plate clean, but underneath it's all dirty. You know, then you go to put the dishes away and you find that all that, you know, junk went on the next plate and the top of every plate's dirty again. You know, temporary relief. Many times we can do that, but that's human wisdom. It provides temporary relief to life's problems, but brings lasting destruction. In Jeremiah 23 and verse number 16 and 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." Notice, they want to allow those that are doing wrong to feel comfortable. It provides temporary relief. You know, when somebody does wrong, parents, when your children do wrong, teachers, when your students do wrong, Sunday school teachers, when your students do wrong, you ought never to make them feel comfortable. Human wisdom provides temporary relief, but divine wisdom makes people feel uncomfortable so that they can have lasting rest in their lives. Jeremiah chapter 6 says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and what? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." You know, that human wisdom may provide temporary relief, but it will not bring lasting rest to your life. You know, I wonder tonight, have you been trying to solve life's problems with a temporary fix instead of dealing with the issues in your life, following God's word, and finding that rest that God is offering? We're going to close, but next time I've got two more points on what human wisdom will bring in your life. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in our lives. And Lord, there is so much information bombarded at our minds today. Lord, it's flying at us in so many directions. Lord, but much of it is just the foolishness of this world. Lord, I pray that you would give us the discernment that we need to recognize it. Lord, that we would be in your word, that we, those that are parents, that are teachers, that are leaders, would be willing to make people uncomfortable so that they can find that position of rest. And Lord, that those that are under authority would be willing to be made uncomfortable and would recognize the dangers of temporary fixes that only bring temporary relief. And Lord, that we would be willing to deal with life's issues and life's problems with divine wisdom. And Lord, that will bring lasting rest and peace to our lives. Lord, may you work in our hearts. May we meditate on your word. And may you bring the change, Lord, that you would desire to bring. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.